Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. This is Lisa Anderson. I have got a great opportunity for you that I've been telling you about for the past couple of weeks. Basically, year-end giving. We are coming up on the end of the year, heading into the Christmas season, or I guess we're actually in it because December, whatever. For some people, it starts in October. But if Boundless has meant something to you, this is your opportunity to give back before we head into 2017. Go to boundless.org/donate. We have got a matching gift that we have the opportunity to match. A large donor gave us $35,000 because they love Boundless, and they are going to match dollar for dollar every gift that you give. So this is the opportunity to make your gift count, to actually double your gift on behalf of boundless.org. boundless.org/donate, or just go to Boundless and push on the donate button. You can make it happen. Thank you guys in advance. Okay, this week's show, later on, we have Dr. Carl Benzio. He's a psychiatrist, and he's going to answer a question about mental illness as it relates to dating. Great, great insight from him coming up. Then for our culture segment, the fabulous Laura Story, musician, but also with an amazing story, oh my goodness, no pun intended, but kind of, about God's faithfulness in her own life. And we love her, what God is doing in her marriage and in her family and beyond. Okay, our roundtable today, we have Patrick, Andrew, and JB here. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello. Greetings.
All right, good to have you guys here because we are going to talk about being insecure. Tear fest.
We were the most insecure people you could think of.
Yeah. Right.
This is how I tell people when we're looking for people for like roundtables. I'm just like, hey, so I really feel you struggle with pride, and we're going to be talking about that on the show. So can you be on it? So you guys just kind of came to mind. I don't know what happened about that. But no, we're going to talk about insecurity in relationships. I think we have all been there on some level, either as we were dating or as we've been dating, or quite frankly, as we are hoping to date and no one wants to date us. Like, then we just get insecure. So I want to kick it off by assessing the degree of insecurity that we have wrestled with in the past. So basically, are you the type of person that, you know, anticipating, okay, and so Andrew and JB and I are the singletons here. Andrew and Patrick are now married. So you guys have to reach back into your pasts. But as you thought of like entering a relationship or the hope of a relationship, was it always something that you kind of white knuckled? Like, is this going to like work out? Is this person going to like me? What are they? Or were you kind of a confident person going into it? What would go on in your own head, would you say?
I think for the most part, early on, I was pretty confident, but there were definitely moments while we were dating that this insecurity would hit me. Mostly related to the distance between us. We did distance dating almost our entire dating and engagement. And so insecurity came up along the way, kind of as we were looking towards marriage even. So I was probably less insecure when we were dating. When we got engaged, there was more insecurity as it was kind of like, man, I want to get married to you.
Yeah.
And so.
Because she was in California and you were like, what if she sees this guy running on the beach? And just,
that is exactly
That's what I'm saying. You never know who's lurking around ready to snatch your fiance.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Well, and for us, like Jen wanted to be in California. And my vision for us was, let's be in Colorado. This is where my life is. Mm-hmm. And so there was kind of this, man, if she did meet somebody just like me in California, like she could stay there. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of grew out of that, I think.
Yeah. No, that's legit. Man.
Yeah, I was kind of habitually, if you think back to like, your middle school dances. Mm-hmm. It was like girls are like on one side of the gym. And
I
the
wasn't
guys,
allowed to go to
the guys
them, Patrick,
are on the other
so
side
for
of the gym.
Bringing up that wound. Okay, go
and
ahead.
And it takes you like 45 minutes to actually go ask a girl if they actually, that was kind of me my entire life. It didn't matter what age I was at. If I actually was interested in someone and I wanted to try to talk to them, I just became that like, you know, stumbling around, fumbling like, oh my gosh, here she comes. What am I going to do? So I never had that, you know, full-on confidence and like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
I think we should go out sometimes. I always felt like, man, she's going to think I'm a total idiot. I mean, never, you know, always kind of waiting for what's going to happen type of thing. So it would take me a while to get past that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think. Was that an okay answer?
Well, it was okay for now. We'll delve into that further in a little bit, but yeah.
I think I have a special brand of insecurity where I think I am awesome, mm-hmm. but I'm not convinced that you think that quite yet. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I have to like win you over, mm-hmm. but I believe I have what it takes to win you over, but it's like I have to like make sure you see it, you know? So I'm okay. going to like bake extra things and I may write an English paper for you. Yeah, I was going to say, what are your
win you over tactics? Okay, you're going to write. Okay.
Right. I will help. I often answer grammar questions.
Okay.
That's like my way of expressing affection for you. Mm-hmm.
The guys are like flatlining. I don't know that they're necessarily won over by grammar.
Sometimes you need to know where a comma goes.
I think we're going to need to help JB.
You're really
out
hot.
Here.
Don't use a contraction there. I don't know. Is that a greeting card? Could we do something like a greeting card?
I feel like I might have said that verbatim before. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
It hasn't worked, clearly. But okay. Here I am.
She's a helper. She's ready to help. That's good. Okay. Have you ever gone on a date with someone, any of you, or been in a relationship with someone where you kind of all of a sudden started, I mean, Andrew, you alluded to this a little bit, you started second guessing it because you were like, am I someone's plan B or am I a rebound relationship? Am I someone that they're just dating to be dating someone or to just kind of have, you know, I mean, some people use the term placeholder, like I'm just kind of there. And until someone better comes along, I'm going to date this person. They're just available. How have you seen that play out in yourself or in other friendships at all?
Is it awful that I've been single for so long that I would be like really excited to be a placeholder?
Oh, no.
Like, it just sounds like a gift at this point. Like, yeah, okay. I'll spend a few hours with you. Like, okay. Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go sentence.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So I've never been on the other side of it, of like insecure of like how much I mean to that person. I mean, when you've never dated anyone, it's just hard to feel that way. So,
well, because while you're being a placeholder, that's when you have the opportunity to win them over and say, no, this girl's actually really legit.
Right. They don't let me in that far.
Okay.
So we gotta access
that
denied.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it seems to me that in Christian community, that's not as common mm-hmm. for people. I mean, they might be doing it subconsciously, like not really mm-hmm. knowing, like they're doing it. But I think for most of the, I mean, thank you to like Joshua Harris and others, you know, it's like date with intentionality, well, and Boundless. Like that's our thing too, mm-hmm. is dating with intentionality, having a reason for why you're dating. And so I just don't even hear people saying, oh, I'm just dating for fun. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to date because it's a fun thing to do. Yeah. Where I think maybe 10 or 20 years ago, that was more common. Mm-hmm. But I feel like our generation, you know, like I'm in my 30s, I feel like we were influenced by that, where it was like, you better be pretty sure that you want to, like, that there's a possibility you would marry them before you'd ever ask them out. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of made it so as soon as they would shift into placeholder mode, you'd be like, oh, nope, yeah, like, I don't want to have a placeholder, you know, because I don't know. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like maybe sometimes like the female friends have been placeholders for the girlfriend, of like they're fulfilling just enough needs for that guy, or vice versa, that they don't have to look somewhere else and like seek out a girlfriend? Oh, I feel like I've seen that more in Christian circles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And people have I've been in friend groups where that kind of came out, where like all the guys are oblivious to girls that like them. Uh-huh. And it's just like the guys just enjoy getting together all the time,
right.
and kind of the friend zone type of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that has been a lot more common maybe.
The friend zone. It's horrible.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about just insecurity and kind of almost the aspect of trying too hard as you are dating. So someone you're really into, either you're trying to get a date with them or you manage to get a date with them, or, you know, Eureka, you're actually in a relationship with them. How have you not been yourself, or so, I mean, it's kind of like the human version of social media, where we're putting our best foot forward. And I think we know that that's always going to be generally the case. I mean, you're not going to go out with someone you like and just be an idiot if you can help it, you know? I mean,
well, you'd be surprised.
Not intentionally. But that said, how have you just clearly like tried too hard to the point where you're not, this person is not even getting a real version of you? You know, and you've had to either come clean or realize that you're just not comfortable around this person, or you need to start showing some of your true colors.
I think it's tough, just in any of those kind of situations, not just to, you know, self-edit too much. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're first starting to get to know somebody, you know, you can be, if you're not careful, anything you do or say, it's like you say something and you laugh and you're like, I wasn't even funny, was it? You know, or did they even laugh? And down to, you know, oh, what should I order at dinner? Is this going to be the right thing? Oh, this is kind of messy. Maybe I should need something. I mean, you can become neurotic if you're not careful. And you really have to, you know, work extra hard sometimes if you are on that insecure side, just to have a peace about who you are, you know, and not have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, for me, there's two things that came to mind. One is, you're constantly trying to be who you think they want you to be. And so the whole relationship is, I think you want a guy like this. And so you're always trying to, like, kind of pivot to, oh, you like this. Oh, you know, they mentioned something that they like and you're like, oh yeah, I like that too. And you kind of can do that. I think the other thing is, for me, like, when I felt insecure, it was trying to control the relationship. And so instead of kind of like letting it be what it will be, I would kind of, you know, check up on, hey, you know, what, like kind of, have you been spending your time, especially with distance, you know? And so, like, I remember Jen was part of this co-ed Bible study. And my questions around that, like, at a time when I was feeling insecure, were like, hey, so are there any guys at this Bible study? And, like, do you talk to them? And
do you talk
how
to
much,
them?
You know?
You guys going through Song of Solomon?
Yeah, but totally. It's like kind of that insecurity of like, okay, who are the threats in this Bible study? And eventually, like, she just was like, you know what, I don't think I'm going to be in that Bible study anymore. You know, and then we were engaged by that point, but she could tell that was just a place I felt insecure. You know, and looking back, like, I didn't need to worry about that or be insecure about that, but I just remember feeling that, and that was probably related to, like, just being at the distance. And it was like, you know, the more we were moving towards marriage, the more I was like, oh man, like, I don't like the idea of you hanging out and, like, growing close to other guys in San Diego. So
I think that raises a really interesting question, though, of how much, like, should our insecurities shape the way that other people interact with us? Because I've been in a talking situation before where the guy did not like a relationship I had with a friend that I've had since, like, middle school, you know? And so we text and we're very close and I love him a lot, very brotherly relationship, but he was incredibly threatened by it. And so as we were talking, I, like, put more and more distance between myself and my childhood friend, because I just felt like it was respectful of our relationship and what we had. And so I do think that there's some catering that's needed, but how do you know, like, how do you navigate the land of, like, now I'm enabling your insecurity as opposed to, like, forcing you to man up and just feel comfortable and confident in what we have.
Yeah, that's true, because I've actually seen that in the social media space too, as people become engaged and then married, where the one person, you know, wants to hang on to all these friendships. It's that weird transference of, you know, you're no longer going to be able to be in these people's lives to the extent that you were, and, you know, you're probably not going to be able to just be posting and reposting and friends with all your exes and that kind of stuff. And just, I mean, just one, out of sheer exhaustion. I mean, you can't keep up with all these people.
How many exes
and then
two, do you have?
How do you,
yeah, wow.
They all live in Texas. But it's funny because as we were talking about that and just the what other people see, like what you put forward, I think it's funny because being involved with Boundless, I think people think I have a much more extraordinary life than I really do. I mean, I will leave this studio and go up and maybe grab a coffee and answer some more emails. And that's going to, oh, and I have a meeting. So that's how I'm going to finish out my day. Last night at home, I literally ate a bowl of Fruit Loops and was reading a book. I didn't have any friends over. I didn't have anything exciting going on. I wasn't downtown doing nightlife, as just everyone I'm sure thinks I do, interviewing random people on the street. And so it's funny because it's almost like then I feel this pressure to, like, oh, I'm supposed to be fun Lisa or interesting Lisa or have all these awesome questions of someone. And I'm like, ugh, I don't really even care to get to know this person. It's like I'm becoming progressively introverted or something. Okay, so here's what one of my friends had. What do you think? Let's talk about just, and we've talked about this on the show before, but everyone brings it up like it's some big deal. This whole idea of, like, leagues and age brackets and stuff like that. Like, I had one friend who just told me, like, she would never date a guy that's younger than her because she would constantly be looking behind her to feel like he would just dump her as soon as, like, a younger woman came along. Like she said, I'm way too insecure to feel like he thinks that I would be pretty enough or interesting enough or his, where, you know, just where he is in life. I don't know. Have you ever had any kind of like litmus test like that, whether it's an age difference or a socioeconomic difference or just cool factor or league, you know? I mean, some of this is like just part of being human, I think, but I think the devil can work against us too and kind of planting lies in our heads. I don't know. Where have you been in that space?
I think that it's really interesting to me that most of the time, really good advice that I get on dating within the church is you should like date someone that you don't think you deserve. Like they're so awesome and so great that you're like thankful for them and you're marrying up. And that's what you hear a lot of, like, I totally married up. You know, she's awesome and I'm ugly or whatever. And
I do.
That's what, and especially from men, I feel like that usually is what people say, which is really
Andrew
interesting.
Andrew totally said that because he posted something about his wife because she was like coloring the scriptures during church or something like that and being all artistic about it. Oh. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not artistic, so I'm never going to get anyone. Whatever.
Yes, you
but it's
will.
Okay. I've forgiven Andrew for his post. But
for breeding insecurity.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I feel like that's what people say, but then like statistically, we're drawn to people like in our same league as far as like looks and performance and talents are concerned. And so that's a really interesting thing to me that like we're probably actually drawn to people who are more similar to us, but we think that for whatever reason they're better than us, or we feel like the pressure to think that we're marrying up mm-hmm. and out of our league. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The two married guys can weigh in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think. I mean, for me, I didn't think too much about that because I felt like, yeah, for me, like Jen and I met in such a unique way. Like we met at a conference, and we easily could have both been at the conference and not met. And so I think for us, it was like this: wow, I'm so glad I met you at. You know, this, it was actually a pursuit, you know, and
yeah,
it was kind of a, which come to pursuit.
I will forever take credit for that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I think that, I always kind of tried to check the temptation to think about, oh, you know, like, is this person like, are we in the same league or all that? Because it just felt really like selfish and I guess I always thought, you know, God is sovereign over my life and he can bring along a person, you know, that's right for me, mm-hmm. whether or not they're in my league or not. And then that my job was just kind of to hold it loosely and just see, Lord, is this something that you're in, mm-hmm. that you're doing? So I feel like leagues sometimes can add to insecurity because like when something doesn't work out, which I've had that happen quite a few times, the first thing we want to know is why. You know, and that's probably the main time of insecurity is, oh man, like maybe it was this or maybe it was the league thing or, and I think that we have to just like relax there and say, you know what, this just wasn't the right thing. And I don't know, I'll probably never figure out why it didn't work out. I wanted it to work out, but I'm just going to, you know, keep looking forward and just trust that the Lord will bring the right person at the right time. So, because I think the league's discussion comes up out of the, hey, why didn't this work out? It seemed good on paper, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference, you know, like everybody has preferences. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, here's somebody that I would be looking for. I mean, we all have that. Some people have, of course, a scroll of things that like, here's the 2,700, you know, things that this person has to have. But I kind of side with Andrew in that I didn't really go into it looking for all these specific qualities. For me, it was more if I'm connecting with a person and there's a relationship developing there, then that's when some of those things might actually crop up. So age or whatever may not be an issue, but then maybe you meet the family and it turns out, you know, wow, their parents are millionaires and, you know, we only ate one piece of sandwich meat on our sandwiches growing up. We were kind of poor and, you know, and oh, all our brothers are triathletes and I'm wiping potato chips off my stomach. And, you know, so those are the things that suddenly start to blossom as you get to know them more. You know, you might see the things that, well, now this is something that I'm kind of intimidated by and I have to be able to work around and deal with, you know, as I'm getting to know this person or the family or, you know, that relationship's developing. But otherwise, I think you have to be a little bit careful. I'm a big fan of God is going to do what he's going to do, no matter what you think he should do, you know. So to have too many of those things in place, I think it's more fun just to let him be God.
Yeah.
And you never know. I mean, I'm married. My wife would sit here right now and go, I mean, all the things, you know, that she would have imagined. There's quite a few that I'm not, you know. I mean, I'm older than her, and there's a lot of other things that, you know, her parents probably, when she first started describing me, like, you're going to do what with him? You know, but it's worked. It's worked great. And because she was able to do the same thing, it's like, well, coming from a small town, I don't think I ever would have, you know, married a guy that A, B, C, D, and E, but here we are, and everything's good.
It's funny because it just reminds me of people I've seen in relationships where they've tried so hard to make it work, and it's been a big drama fest, and it's breakups and getting back together and personality analyses and just like biblical counseling and all this stuff, and then it, you know, crashes and burns, and then they meet someone else and it's just like bam, and God's just in it, and you just see it. It's just so, you know, that's why I always say, no one has to sign up for a mess, people. Well, you know, you don't have to just, I think we're so prone, you know, to Patrick's point of just distrusting God and saying, oh, there's no way God can accomplish this, so I'm going to have to force something to happen. I'm going to have to be the square peg that's going in the round hole, or figure out, you know, how to just cobble this relationship together to make it into something. And, you know, it's like, yeah, God's got this.
People, you know, when you don't have someone in your life and you want someone in your life, there's no way around that. That's a difficult period, and it can be, what's wrong with me? Is it me? And how come everybody else has someone and I don't? I mean, that's natural stuff that all of us go through. But you know, it's still so much better to be by yourself than to have somebody and be miserable. I mean, hands down. You know, if you're having a bad day, you can deal with it on your own, and you can have friends, and you can go off to go get coffee. There's 100 different things. But when you're in a relationship and it is not a healthy relationship, it's misery. I mean, it's miserable. And it's always better, you know, if you had to choose one or the other. There's nothing exciting about being with somebody that's toxic.
Well, more we could say here. Maybe we'll move it over to the blog. So all you out there that have been in this spot, or maybe you're the person that automatically goes to leagues and all this kind of stuff, maybe you still haven't gotten over someone that you felt, you know, did you wrong and dumped you for no good reason, put it out there. Go find our blog post. We'll have it linked.
Name their names.
Go on.
Yeah. Share it with them.
That is very cathartic. That is fabulous. So, yeah, you know, it's good times. So, but thanks, you guys, for being willing to share from your own stories. That's cool. It gets the ball rolling for everyone else to see we're not alone.
That's right.
Sure.
You betcha, Dare.